going on? What's going on, everybody? Listen, we don't got the sound effects right now because I'm out of town trying to handle some business, but welcome to another episode of The Lion's Den. If you guys don't know, this is what we do here. We focus on leadership, growth, and development with a call to action from the household to the community. Right on? That's what we do. So welcome, welcome, welcome. Big Herm, what's up, man? You get your computer situated. What's up?
Man, I think I'm slow motion over here. What does it look like?
Yeah. I mean, pretty normal for you. You know what I'm saying? It's all
good. Okay.
It's all good. How was your weekend, though? So you went to a comedy show. What's up, man? Give us that feedback a little bit.
So I went to see Cat Williams' Dark Matter tour, right?
Okay.
And I will say he had a lot of people on there. He had some lady I don't know. He had Red hosting it.
Okay.
Some lady named Takora Williams, who was funny. She's the funniest one out of all of them.
Mm-hmm.
Mark Curry, I'm sorry.
Yeah. Oh, good.
Lil Mo came out there and sang.
Oh, nice.
Tommy Davidson came out there. Monique came out there.
Mm-hmm.
And then Cat Williams.
Okay.
Yeah, Monique just came out there ranting and raving and, you know, just talking vulgar, man. She wasn't funny at all.
Really? Was she still talking about how people did it wrong or whatnot?
Oh, man. She said F Tyler Perry and Oprah about 500 times.
Oh, wow. God. Come on, bro. Yeah. Hey, that's what it is. Well, look, everybody, again, if y'all don't know, we got some more lions in the den. So we got Miss Danny, then we got Mr. Jabri up in the building. What's going on, y'all? What's going on? What's going on? How y'all feeling?
You know, I'm doing excellent. I feel great. Happy to be a part of this team. I can't stress that enough. Really excited. Yeah, I'm excited for the conversation, the elevated conversations. Been looking forward to it. So thanks.
Yeah, absolutely. So apparently you got some feedback, right? We got some feedback from the last show. Well, look, before we go into that, y'all, what do y'all think about the show, the last show, when we're talking about raising daughters in our generation? Jabri, man, what did you think about that segment last week?
I thought it was excellent, man. Got a lot of good feedback from individuals that saw the show. I thought a lot of good questions were posed. It gave me insight into, you know, not just my situation, but how other people handle different things. So I learned a lot from the actual segment. And yeah, man, I just took that and I'm running with it and trying to utilize it in my day to day.
Yeah, me too. What you think, Herb? Did you learn something new? And he was like, you know what? Y'all already knew that. I'm just got to get better. What you think from raising your daughters? Anything that stuck out?
You know, for me, it just, the things that you already know, it just confirms it. You know what I mean? You know, I wouldn't necessarily say I actually learned anything. It's just that, you know, I realize that, you know, everybody goes through these things.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? There's something that you already know, but you never really think about.
Mm-hmm.
Right? You just think, because you're in your own bubble with your child doing your own thing. So,
yeah. Okay. Well, that's what it is. Well, look, Miss Danny, so what feedback did you get?
Yeah, so I posed the question. Today, we are going to discuss the art of parenting. And the feedback that I got had some great responses. The question was, what is the first thing that comes top of mind regarding this topic? Shout out to Dawn. She says, individuality. Every child is not the same, and the way our parents raised us were in different times, and that should be acknowledged when parenting children.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely agree with that. You know what I mean? You think about the world that our children are growing up in, just like we talked about last show, it's entirely different from the world that we grow up in.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like when we talk about, I'm gonna go back to cyberbullying again. You know, for us, we like, just turn the damn phone off. You don't even turn the computer off. It should be the end of it, right?
Yeah, but that's their lifeline.
But that's not reality.
Yeah. No, I'm glad you said that. Well, look, ladies and gentlemen, this we're going to do. We're getting ready to go into this show. And wherever you're watching us at, if it's not on YouTube, shame on you. I'm going to give you 5 hot seconds to go on YouTube and make sure you look for the Lions Pride Network, okay? Because wherever you are right now outside of YouTube is getting ready to go off. So everybody that tuned in thus far from the Lions Pride Paige, we appreciate you. All right. But see you on the other side. And everybody else, same with you. Okay. We're getting ready to get this in. And but yeah, we need those subscribes, y'all. We need those subscribes and interactions because it's going to be a good time. It's going to be a real, real good time. So, Jabri, you ready for it, homie? There you go. Go ahead, Jabri. Can you hear me?
Yeah.
Oh, go ahead. You good?
Jabri's froze.
Yeah, he is.
We have more while Jabri's getting ready. We have more comments.
Oh, you got more comments? Oh, go ahead. Go ahead. Give us some more.
Yeah, so let me rush through it. DeMarcus, spending time with your kids is priceless and something money can't buy. James, how to properly prepare them for the future that they'll experience as technology continues to emerge. Whitney, holistic parenting, taking the meat and spitting out the bones. Conscious parenting. Cynthia, it's okay to allow them to struggle. Struggle builds character. Marquita, balance, gentle and tough love are both needed. Valerie, prayer, patience, breaking through generational curses. And Wesson, how to be a good role model for your children. Shout out to all of those people that responded.
Oh, that's super dope. Damn. Okay. All right, Jabri, you ready? What's your question?
Yeah, I'm ready, man.
Yeah, go ahead. Go ahead. So kicking this off, man, for parenting, son. Man, the art of parenting. You got it. Go ahead.
Hey, so the first thing I kind of thought about, when parenting. Yeah, it's a nice little lag, but we're not going to let it mess us up. Mm-hmm. What I really thought of was transparency. And allowing kids to look behind the veil of what we have going on. These kids are smarter than we ever were technology-wise, but their experience lacks a little bit. So for me, as far as my daughters, I've ensured that I've been as transparent as possible to allow them to see some of my mistakes and see some of my, you guys. How transparent are you with your kids in a allowing them to see the different aspects of you and everything about you.
All right. Well, kick it off, Herm. What you think, man? How transparent are you, man, when you're talking to your daughters?
I think so.
You guys able to pick that up?
Yeah.
I think for me, I'm very transparent, with my kids. I let them know about a lot of my failures. Because the reason why I let them know about a lot of my failures is because I want them to learn from that and understand, despite what everybody believes, your father's not perfect. You know what I mean? I just try to let them know, I fall in a time or two myself, so they can better understand, why I'm giving the advice that I give.
Okay. What about you, Danny?
So obviously my kids are very young. I have the youngest kids out of the bunch. So 3 and 1, there's only so much that they're going to be able to understand at this age. But I would say that it is my goal to remain transparent as they grow older, because children nowadays are they're more susceptible. I'm tripping over my words, but they're just being introduced to more things at much younger ages. And so I think that to get ahead of the curve, it's important to just always have open communication and dialogue with my children so that they will already be well prepared and equipped for whatever the conversation and scenario that they enter into.
Mm-hmm. No, I appreciate that. As I'm having conversations with my daughter, and I've said it before from last week, I think it's important to not just say certain things, but also listen, because that will let me know how much I can give them, if that makes sense, right? Because we all have, our children are different, but then with that being said, when they were born, we were different too. So what is it that I'm able to understand now and to the point where I can communicate it efficiently to my daughter at that age? You get what I mean? Without saying you shouldn't do this. And if she's asking more questions, not to shut her down because I don't feel comfortable explaining it with her. I would just give her a scenario where she can understand it. And I think that's the most important piece. So as we're learning and learning things about life, how do we be honest with our children, you know, at the same time, because they're watching everything. And that's another thing, to act like they don't understand. Yeah, they may not understand, but they see it. And then they're very intuitive, meaning looking at how you respond to certain things, right? So if they see you trip out and they say, hey, well, daddy, why did you look that way? Are you able to be honest and say, you know what? Daddy was thinking about something else and, you know, that wasn't the right thing to do, instead of saying, you get what I mean? So, but no, that's a real good question. That was a good question. Herm, what you got, man? What you think about this parenting thing?
So the parenting thing, man, for me, my kids have the luxury, you know, it's me, their mother, and, you know, now my wife, their stepmother. You know what I mean? And we all three have, like, different values and came up in different ways, right? I believe me and my ex-wife come from a more similar background, you know what I'm saying? That's why I appreciate what my wife brings to the table when it comes to raising these girls. But it's about, when you talk about co-parenting, you know, it's talking about working together. And right now I still feel like, you know, we all still work separately to help the girls. You know what I'm saying? It's not like it's a team effort. How important do y'all think that part is? You know what I'm saying? That the parents is working together, you know what I'm saying, to be a single one band, one sound when it comes to the kids? Or can you do it separately the way that I think that we're doing it right now?
Go ahead, Danny. I want to hear your point.
Yeah, so I am what you would consider a solo parent. I don't have those experiences. There's not even a co-parent. And I don't say that to diminish that person or anything like that. So I'm just telling you my experience. But I think it's absolutely important and healthy to be one band, one sound, to eliminate any confusion. Children can manipulate situations. They can go to one parent because they know from that parent they can get what they want, and then kind of play parents against each other, especially in situations where there are co-parents and blended families. This past week, I was actually listening to another conversation because I love streaming. And one of the other conversations was about step parents or bonus parents who don't have the option of disciplining the child. That would be something that I would like to also introduce to the conversation, especially Herm, because you do have a blended family. What are your thoughts when you say one band, one sound? Is it okay for the other person to discipline? And what does discipline look like? Because there was a conversation where they were like, what do you mean I can't discipline the child? If they're in my home, I have every right to discipline the child. That, to me, I was completely taken aback. Like, you have a lot of nerve. Discipline can just simply mean when your mom comes, we're all going to, again, one band, one sound, we're all going to have a conversation with you and we're going to have a family meeting. Not in this household, you're going to be disciplined. And then when you go back over there, discipline, well, let me take that back. I do agree with you can get disciplined in two households. Yes, I do agree with that. But you don't have any right as a step parent or a bonus parent to put your hands on my child. And if you do want to enforce any type of be enforcing anything, you definitely need to speak to me first. So what are you guys' thoughts about that?
Whoa. I know, right? Oh no, like so that's right. A lot. Yo, man. Herb, look, I know you got some many rebuttals, all right, about that, or even just thoughts. No. But so shoot, man, I just want to answer even just part of that. I think that it's important that when you're parenting, whoever, you know, that your significant other is, your wife, your husband, or whatever, if you have contact with them, you have to be able to keep it focused on the child and saying, hey, this is what discipline looks like to me, and be able to listen to the other parent and to understand what it means to them, and then come in the middle. It's not my way is better than your way. my way is based off of my past and what has worked and not worked for me. So essentially, we have to feel safe to have an open conversation, to think out loud, if that makes sense, right? So you have to think out loud to say, hey, well, look, when I was younger, this happened, but I know I did this, but this wasn't warranted. However, this was. So what I did was I created a narrative for my daughters, you know, or my son or whoever the case it is, parent, and say, all right, I see where Seth is, and this is where I'm at. Now, how can we bring that both together and not traumatize this damn child? Because the 80s is totally different than what it is now. You get what I mean? And pulling out, going outside and getting a switch and all that. You can go to jail for that these days. You know what I'm saying? So,
or involving them in the middle of that drama, period.
There you go. But what you got, Herm? What you think, man?
This is why I feel like this. My wife has every right. I trust her. I wouldn't have married her if I didn't feel like this. You know what right. I mean? I trust her to make the sound decision to discipline my children. You know what I mean? Because they're our children at the same time. Now, honestly, I don't know, you know what I'm saying, how my ex-wife feel about it. I don't think she really cares about that. Because, I mean, she knows, you know, that there's not going to be any abuse going on.
Mm-hmm.
Right? You know what I mean? So there's no, you know, hey, why'd you do that? My daughter's a little bit too old to get whooped, even though, you know, they be needing it. You know what I mean? But if whenever my wife decides to impose discipline, it's my job to support her because they need to respect her as well.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I'm saying? And say maybe I might disagree with it or something like that, then we'll talk about it behind closed doors.
Yes.
And just have a discussion. But I wouldn't want to do that in front of the kids to undermine her, because then they'll never listen to her again.
That's right.
You know, I've had a bad habit of doing that, speaking about co-parenting to my ex-wife. I used to do that to her a lot because I didn't agree with some of the things that she do, because I feel like, you know, she's such a fire person. You know what I mean? Like a, when I say a fire person, like hot tempered.
Yeah.
Right. You know what I mean? And then all along, I'm just as hot tempered. You know what I mean? So it's just, we flip flop back and forth who's going to get the maddest. You know what I mean? Yeah. But like I never gave her that same grace as far as, you know what I'm saying, not interjecting and backing her up, which I should have in some instances, and then talking to her behind closed doors about why I disagree with what she did.
Yeah. Let me see. We got Jabri back. I know he stepped out for a minute. You good, homie?
I don't know what's going on, but I'm back, man.
All right. Hey, you sounding good. You sounding real good. So yeah. You're on the phone now, that ain't you? You're on the phone.
I got you.
So did you hear the question that was posed?
No. Can you pose the question again, please?
Go ahead real quick, Danny.
Yeah. So what are your thoughts, especially in a situation where there's a blended family with that step parent or bonus parent disciplining the child?
That's a touchy subject for a lot of people. I've been in that situation before, and for me, it was touchy only because there wasn't enough communication, right? I think when there are limited levels of communication, then it's very difficult to, there are feelings involved, and then there are different aspects of relations that don't allow people to see what you see in your spouse. Because I knew my ex-spouse, I knew she loved the kids, but at the same time, regardless of, their mom is their mom, and she saw things a totally different way. And so if I had the chance again, you know, if I ever had the chance again, you know, even though my daughters are older, I would allow the levels of communication to be heightened, meaning I would want, and anybody in that situation, I think they should want to have those conversations beforehand, because a lot of times what happens is they don't have those conversations. And then once it happens, it's too late to talk about it. Then feelings are already involved, yeah. And people are already feeling some type of way. So it really takes a lot of communication to get to that point. And then once those boundaries are set, I think parenting can happen, because people a lot of times feel like their hands are tied when they're dealing with other individuals' kids, even in a blended situation, because you want a parent, but everybody was raised differently. So one style is not going to fit all situations.
I'm glad you said that.
Man, on the flip side, man, like if my ex-wife would have remarried or whatever, I don't know how I would react to another man disciplining my children. You see? Know what I mean?
Yeah.
Hey, I ain't never said I was fair. You know what I'm saying? I never said that.
Right,
hey,
right.
I don't give a damn. You know what I'm saying? So I think I would have a big issue if that ever were to happen. You know what I mean? Call me whatever you want to call me.
No, yeah.
Now, I have something else to add. Well, I have another kind of in reverse, not even in reverse, but now what if the child is just being very, very complicated and just giving you grief when you are a new person is entering the situation and they just are being so rude, such a brat, do not want to acclimate to the situation, but you know this person is great for you. Do you choose the child and their opinions over the relationship?
Well, here, so let's do this real quick, too, because I do want to answer that. But shout out to Ms. Shauna. She said those conversations and scenarios should be talked about amongst adults before any situation arise, because we know it will. And she's absolutely right about that. Now, to your point, if I believe that there's a level of maturity that the parent must have to see through the child's manipulation. It starts early, because if you don't, if you don't check it, that's how you get that baby boy syndrome. You get what I'm saying? Look, Jody was the baby. You understand? And he had to go over to old buddy and say, hey, man, look, you mess with my mama. You get what I mean? But the deal is you have to set boundaries early on, right? But then not just set those boundaries, be able to communicate those boundaries to your significant other. Say, hey, listen, I know you're coming into the situation. My daughter, she's a hot mess. You get what I mean? She's doing this because me and her mom are, you know, whatever the case is, it has nothing to do with you. So the conversation, I believe, on the front end needs to be, we're in this together. I'm not going to let my child, right, dictate what goes on here. But I do believe that in certain situations, the primary parent don't stick up for their significant other, right? Now, that child is always going to be your child, but they don't put the child in the child's place. They put the child in a spousal's place.
Right.
If that makes sense. What you think, Herm?
So the child is getting in the way of my happiness?
Could.
All I got to say is, one, you're like a dream come true. Two,
for real.
Just want to be. I'm turning to Brian McKnight. I'm Brian McKnight now. You know what I mean? Hey, you got to go. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
I'm about to rename some other kids y'all's names, man. It's over with.
But I mean, seriously, though.
No, man. No. Mm-hmm. You know what I'm saying? I would always take my child's feelings into consideration. Mm-hmm. And just let them know. Like, I mean, there's never going to dictate my, you know, say what I'm going to do to make myself happy, as long as the people are, the person is good to my child, right?
That's right. That's right. No, that makes sense. Uh-oh, you faded out, Herm. What you got, Jabri? You feel the same way?
I do, man. I do. I think both of your points are really good. It takes a level of patience, man. Mm-hmm. And a level of patience and maturity, especially in those situations, because you know what the child is doing. The child is acting up in a way that they know they can't affect too many things other than their behavior, and so they want to ruin it for you. And not saying that they're doing it from a malicious place. They want the union or the relationship between you and their mom to work.
Right.
Well, mom in my situation, right. And so if it actually happens, you have to go to the parent and say, hey, this is what's happening. And there has to be a full understanding of, hey, we're on the same page. Like,
yes.
I know why she's doing this, or I know why he's doing this. And we have to fix this. and correct this behavior. And then you have to go to your co-parent, your partner, or your spouse or whatever, and you got to say, hey, you're going to have to be patient.
Yeah.
You're going to have to be, I need you to be patient because this is not their normal behavior. This is this, they're acting out for this particular reason. So yeah, a lot of that is just, again, like I said before, it's communication and a lot of patience, man, because sometimes it's not going to get fixed overnight. And sometimes these kids are going to continue to act the way they do until they try to get a result or a reaction out of you.
No, I agree. So now we're going to pivot from that, but not too much, because we're hitting on something that I believe that we can dive into. So let's talk about these communication techniques, right? So think about you, and this goes for everybody that's listening right now. Think about yourself and the individual that you're interested in, right? So communication is the key to, in any relationship, but it can be particularly challenging between parents and children, especially during adolescence. So we're talking about different stages of our children, right? So what techniques have you found most effective in maintaining an open and honest communication? So Danny, what do you have, right? So mm-hmm. where your children are, they're still young, but what do you think has been the most effective?
You know, I have to try a hybrid approach with my children, and both because they're very different. So I have to consider that too. Mm. With my oldest, the Taurus, the bullheaded person like me, sometimes I have to get real gritty, real stern, and I have to talk real crazy to him because that's the only way he will receive information, especially for boys. That tone is very important when it comes to boys. You can't just be talking to them all delicate in every situation. So sometimes it's very stern. Sometimes, because he can have these really wild outbursts since he did start school, and I have to remove him from that situation because his behavior started to shift. But sometimes I have to look at him very level, get on the same level as him, eye to eye, and just ask him, so tell me more about your feelings. What are you feeling right now? What's making you upset? What's making you frustrated? Mm-hmm. You have to break it down that way sometimes. Sometimes it's get out my face, go sit in a corner, go to your quiet corner, or whatever the case. Mm-hmm. So I have to switch it up. My son, my baby, he is so super delicate that I have to, tone is important for him too, in the sense that if I'm too loud, he's very offended. So I have to consider that too. So just a hybrid approach, especially as a mom, not trying to coddle my children and start the baby boy syndrome, being very stern, even at 3 and 1 years old.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's good. Jabri, what you think, homie?
What Danny said was spot on, actually. I like to call it adaptability. Having older kids, I've gone through those different stages. And as a dad, you know, I didn't have my dad growing up. And so for me, you just kind of winging it a little bit, and you see different examples, and you think you got it right, or you think you know everything. And then next thing you know, you're breaking down the communication gaps between your kids, because you're stern or set in one particular way. So for me, it's really been all about understanding where they are and what they need at that particular time. So sometimes I've had to be stern, and I'm not really that stern of a parent. I bark loud, but I don't really have no bite, man. And but in actuality, the way that I come off to them, the respect that they have for me has, I don't have to say things a certain way. I have to really just meet them at their level. And I think in last week's episode, I was kind of talking about how kids are a roller coaster. Mm-hmm. So you really just have to be adaptable to what stage they're at in that particular part of their journey. And you have to open yourself up to, hey, I know I'm tired. I've been working all day. I'm frustrated by this or that. But if they come in the house and they're ready to talk, you have to be ready to talk, right? Sometimes it's literally like, what? Oh, for real?
Yeah.
That's crazy. Yeah.
Yep. They do this over and over again, zoning out.
but it actually works though. Like, yeah. And they're not dumb enough to know that, hey, that you're not listening, because I really am listening. But there's certain aspects of the story that I'm just like, hey, I'm here, but I'm not like completely here, but I want to be all involved in this conversation. So really just being adaptable, man, to whatever is needed in that moment. Yeah, so that's really what I'll have for it.
I got you. All right, Herm. So I see you back online. So you end up again with your phone.
Yeah, man, I got to do something with this computer.
All right. Well, look, so anyway, man, we're talking about communication skills, right? And so they talked about how they have to essentially adapt and be a flexer, understanding their children. So what about you? So you got two daughters, right? And I mean, man, they almost like replicas of you, but they're not.
So how do I communicate with them?
Yeah.
I'm still figuring it out. You know what I mean? I got to be honest. I'm still figuring out. Just the other day, me and my youngest had an episode that just wasn't the best. You know what I mean? Because it's like if anybody knows how to push my buttons, it's them. Mm-hmm. You know, so I got to figure out a way to be able to take a step back and stay calm and not elevate when they elevate. You know what I mean? But it's tough. It's a tough thing with the kind of girls that I have and me being the kind of man that I am. You know, it's just, as soon as I think I got a handle of it, my daughter gets to slam in my door. Next thing you know, I'm going to hell off. You know what I mean? Like, I know you just slam my door like you crazy.
You see? Yeah.
You know, so, but that's when those kind of situations happen. Like, but my daughters, you know, for the most part, I feel like they can come talk to me about anything. And I appreciate that, you know, even when it's boys or whatever, they'll come talk to me, you know what I'm saying, because they know that I'm never going to look at them like, how could you do this or how could you think that? You know what I mean? I kind of understand why they think that or why they did that. So,
yeah. And, you know, and I appreciate that. And so even as I'm having conversations, so my son, he'll be 20 this year, right? And it's just blowing my mind. Like I got a human being walking around that's, you know, 20 years old, bro. Like that's stupid to me.
Damn you,
right? I know, right? But then even with that, here I am, got a daughter that's only 12 going on 13. And so I have to realize that even though I'm a quote unquote professional speaker, I'm still learning too. And so as I'm talking to my daughter, she's extremely sensitive. So I never really had to whoop her, right? But when I talk to her and, you know, I have to understand the effects of the communication. And then I can tailor it to her knowing when I'm serious to the point where I don't even have to say anything anymore. I can just look at her and say, you get what I'm saying? Just give her that look. And so she kind of like recalibrate it, come on, you know, come back with it. Or if we're talking or whatever, she say something a little slick, and then I slow down my tone and I start talking through my teeth. Like, listen, I just had to, you see what I'm saying? It's just different things. You see what I'm saying? Because I don't have to be loud. I don't have to be verbose, but to her, it's tonality. You get what I mean? So I want to jump this in here with Miss Shauna. She asked a question for you, Danny. She says, like, Danny, I'm a single mom, two boys with no co-parent. How do you deal with a boy in preteen stage and when they get into challenging phases? Yeah.
Obviously, I don't have an answer to that. You guys can speak more to that, but I would just say and add to that, that it is a very thin line because you do want them to have some independence and be able to speak for themselves and autonomy.
Yes.
But also you don't want them to get beside themselves. And so that's a very thin line and you have to walk that line very cautiously. So you have a 20-year-old. How did you do it?
But keep this in mind. So he's not with me, right? So he didn't grow up with me. So I think, but when he did, you know, come into my, like when we would see each other and everything like that, it was trying to realize what phase of his life I was in, right? Because there's different phases in parenting, right? So you have the nurturer, then you have the coach, right? Then you have the mentor. You get what I mean? Just a mentor, you're still the parent, but the communication style has to equate on their age, not just their age, but their level of emotional intelligence. Because there's some children, like my daughter, she's very mature for her age as far as thinking, but maybe, you know, she's still young, right? She's still a young girl, right? But so that means I have to be able to tailor my conversations. And then, you know, as she's starting to be a teenager, I'm like, okay, cool. So she's dealing with these little nappy headed kids. You know what I mean? She got these hormones getting ready to pop and she might say some kind of stupid. Now, do I haul off and, you know, gut check her? Or do I say, all right, let me put this into consideration and talk to her. Say, look, I need you to go and sit down for a minute, right? Time out, because you're crossing a line that you need to cross. I know this. You get what I'm saying? You need to cross it, but don't get crisscrossed across the face at the same time. You know what I'm saying? So I don't know, man.
You also touched on something that I think is important, and that's village and community, and then mentorship for young boys. Those are the people that we have to lean on as single moms when we're co-parenting or parenting, whatever the situation. So Herm, I know that you're a coach. Is that right?
A coach?
Look, I thought you were working with some young boys in one of the photos. You guys, mind you, I'm still getting to know my squad. So,
I'm a community center director.
Okay.
Yeah, they call me coach in there and stuff like that, but
no, they don't. They
call you've seen your fair share of single moms.
They call me all kind of different things.
They call them Coach Cookie. What they call me?
But I'm sure you've seen your fair share, though, of single moms having to rely on you in the center.
Absolutely. With boys, like I had a boy challenge me this past Friday, actually. You know what I'm saying? We do a school age program and where a lot of the kids come and play basketball, a lot of high school kids come and play. And yeah, of course, you know, with high school boys, they use a language they ain't supposed to be using. When it gets to be too much, you know, I go out to the basketball court, I go grab the basketball, stop the game for a minute, have them circle around me. Most of the boys know me, so they understand what's going on. They come and speak to me, you know, yes, Mr. Herman, this, that, and the third. But one kid snapped and was, you know what I'm saying, had attitude right off the bat, right? And, you know, I told the young man, I said, hey, you know, I don't have a problem sending you home right now. You know what I mean? It's not what I want to do, but I will do that. And all the other boys who knew me, you know what I'm saying, got him together like, hey, man, just say yes, sir, you know, because they knew the process. They knew what was about to happen. You know what I mean? I'm just going to come talk to them, remind them about their language, you know what I'm saying, set guidelines, rules, and let them know, like, hey, if you don't follow this, I'm going to take all these basketballs off the court and send y'all home. You know what I mean? You gotta, even though I can't physically do nothing to them, you know what I mean? I can't physically harm them. I can't, and they know that. I can't do anything to them in that kind of manner. But what I can do is take away privileges. What I can do is, you know, if you want to challenge me in that way, you know, I can't physically do nothing to you, so you can say whatever you want to me. But what I can do is take away these basketballs and exit you from my facility and tell you you can't come back for a few days. You want to come here to play basketball. So you got to find out what it is when you're dealing with somebody that's like a preteen, like Miss Allen, was her last name Allen?
Yeah.
Well, when you got to find out what it is that motivates them, makes them tick, you know what I mean? And always keep that communication with them. And then, hey, let them know, like, a lot of these privileges I give to you. See, you know what I mean? You know, I give to you, but, you know, I can also take it away. You know what I'm saying? Because when a boy becomes a preteen, a lot of times they're not going to fear their mother in that way anymore. You know what I mean? So they will get rowdy and challenge and all that kind of crazy stuff, but you still can do certain things to get their attention. You know what I'm saying? So that's what I would recommend.
And it probably is a cry out for mentorship or a male presence.
Yeah, it may be that. And so it's our responsibility to make sure that we know what stages that they're in so we can supply that. So here, check this out, y'all. We're talking about taking care of children, you know, parenting, co-parenting, and everything like that. But the saying goes, you can't pour from an empty cup. So all of us, even the audience, if y'all could, how important is it, right, to have self-care for you? Specifically, not for your spouse or anything like that, specifically for you. And what are some practical ways that that you can take care of yourself, your mental, your emotional well-being, right, while juggling the demands of being a parent? Jabri, what you got, homie?
Hey, so I say it all the time. You can't, like I said, you can't pour from an empty cup. And a lot of parents think that they're doing their kids justice by working to their last drop or work going all the way to zero. But to me, if you're not pouring into yourself, how can you give your kids your all, right? And so there has to be levels of understanding that regardless of what you have, you're always going to give your kids your all. So you might as well take a little bit of time and replenish yourself to ensure that the all that you are able to give your kids is all that you actually have. So mm-hmm. whether it's sitting in the car and eating and not feeling guilty, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
whether it's taking yourself out to dinner, going to a movie, going to get massages, you know what I mean? Once the kids are of age, maybe like little day trips or something like that. But you have to find something, whatever works for you to be able to get out and enjoy yourself and don't feel guilty. And I think that's what a lot of parents do. They feel guilty if they're doing something for themselves. In reverse, they think they're not doing it for their kids. In actuality, when you do something for yourself, you are doing it for your kids because right. you're able to give more of yourself during the times that you actually have them or around them.
No, very well put. Danny, what do you think? Because you're in a different situation mm-hmm. where you may not have, you know, someone in your life to say, hey, I got them for you this week or whatever the case it is.
Right.
And, you know, do you. But how do you incorporate that in your day to day?
Yeah, what's practical for me at this juncture is, you know, waking up a few hours before my kids have a chance to wake up. Sometimes making sure, like, if I have something that I need to do, I have everything in the corner for them so that they can help themselves. All the snacks laid out, the coloring stuff laid out. So I could just take a breather. Sometimes that means I'm not running to their aid right away if they need something. If I have to finish decompressing or finish my last thoughts and journaling or writing or a project that I'm working on, sometimes I'm not tending to them hand and foot, even though they're very young. But sometimes I'm not, like my mother, she would jump just at the thought of them like crying for a second. Well, I can't do that because then I wouldn't finish my project. So they would sometimes cry because they want my attention. And then I have to be creative and put a song on that I know that they like in the background. Hey, Alexa, she might say something. Hey, Alexa, play this tune and just have a little playlist running in the background while I get a time for myself. So it's just being creative in those little ways, those subtle ways. It's not a lot, but so far that's what's working for me. And then I know that this is only a season. It's not going to be forever. There will be a time where I can lean on other people or take them to somebody else. Right now, I'm not comfortable doing that. They're still trying to, you know, learn their words and talking. So I don't want to put them in a situation they feel uncomfortable and they can't articulate that. So it's just like waking up earlier and staying up later. That's all I could do for right now. And then sometimes not running to their aid whenever they want and need me just because I didn't touch up on them, you know, throughout the day. Sometimes it's Alexa, help me out. 30 minutes, play some music. And that's all I could do.
Man, I think people need to start focusing on empowering their kids, right? In order to free up some time for yourself. Man, one of the kids, like I was riding around and I know this lady, she has two boys in the house. One of them grown in a month. He's like 22 years old. And the other one is 13. And she's the one outside cutting the grass. And I was like, I can't believe you got these two grown kids in the house. The 21-year-old don't have a job. You know what I mean? He's just sitting up in the house while you outside cutting the grass. Right? You know what I mean? And this same woman would run around all over town for her young son. He wanted Gatorade, go roll over to go get it for him and stuff like that. Just anything. And I'm thinking, man, I wonder what the quality of your life really is right now. Right. You know what I mean? Because you just running yourself ragged for the three kids. She got two adult kids inside the house and one teenager. You know what I mean? I like you got to be able to say enough is enough and be like, hey, you know what? You go ahead and cut the grass. Hey, you get yourself off the damn go wash the dishes. I'm going outside.
Right, right.
You know what I'm saying? Right. I'm doing this. That's something I got to get better with. You know what I'm saying? It's like my daughters come over to my house and act like they don't know how to do anything, right? They mom, my ex-wife got them like a well-regimented machine over there at her house, you know what I mean? Know how to do all this stuff. But when they get to my house, they don't know how to find the dirty clothes hamper for their clothes.
Of course.
I'm like, how does this work? You know what I mean? But I think it's just like when you're a supervisor, you empower your troops, you empower your employee and stuff like that, show them how to do things. So now you're able to take some things off of your plate and put it on there so you can focus on other stuff.
Yeah, I like that. Mm-hmm. I like that. So we got Mac. He says, look, he said, I would say whatever relaxes you, right? Make sure to carve out some time each day to meditate, listen to podcasts, work out, etc. Even if it's 15 to 20 minutes daily, you time should be a requirement. Shauna says, when I was working, I used to take leave to get my time, right? Now I'm teaching them boundaries and space and time. So look, that, I like that. So that's super dope. Now here's the question. Y'all been talking about this a little bit, but what do y'all think about when you want it? So you got the good cop and the bad cop, all right? Nobody wants to be the bad cop, right? But there's times when you're supposed to be, so to speak. But do you think that parents, co-parents, or even, listen, even those parents that don't see eye to eye in the same space, however, they don't communicate to be on the same space. So what happened is one to say, well, what did your mama say? Well, no, she crazy. You can go and do this. Well, right. What's your daddy say? Well, you know what? No, that don't make sense. He never makes sense doing that. So you can go and do this. Do you find yourself when you have the children, you know, in your space to say, no, if they said this, I support that, or B, whatever that person said, I support. You get what I'm saying? Do you try to be the nice parent because you want to be, give all that love and affection? Then to your point, Herm, that's when individuals start to run themselves ragged because now they're trying to uphold something and now their children are expecting that all the time. So what do you think about that? Jabri, man, what you think about that? Did you ever find yourself doing that when your girls came over?
Hey, so most definitely. So here's the thing. Not being there all the time kind of gives you a little complex, right? It kind of makes you think like, hey, I got to get everything in all at once. They're here for the summer. They're here 3 months, or they're here, during breaks. I can't come off like a horrible, mean parent because I only have them a certain amount of time, right? And so a lot of times for me, it was, I had to check myself because I'm like, what am I allowing them to get away with that their mom wouldn't? And it's making her look like the bad parent because I'm just putting on a cape and we just going to Six Flags, right? And so for me, I had to make sure that, hey, when stuff would come up that I wasn't accustomed to because I didn't have them all the time, I'm right on the phone. Like, hey, she's trying to do this. I ain't seen this before. What do I need to do? And she's like, look, she's trying to get over on you. No, she knows she don't do that over here. And so I come back like, nope. And I'm and now my chest is all out. Like, I really did something.
Like,
I'm
you just, did something.
Right. I'm only co-signing, man. And so for me, it was an adjustment period. And it was an adjustment period as well because my girls are older, so they were transitioning from young girls to young ladies. And that's a different type of relationship as well. And so you want to continue to keep those lines of communication open. And so sometimes I found myself kind of caving in just to make sure, you know what I mean? And so what I realized was like, look, I'm not your friend. I love you. And, you know, and I'll do whatever for you, but I can't allow, I have to have that standard. I have to set those boundaries so that once you get older and you'll understand that for yourself as well. So it's a huge adjustment period. But for me, I made sure that anything that wasn't accustomed, I kept lines of communication open with their mom. My ex-spouse at the time, I wanted to make sure I communicated well. And so all that worked for me. And did I do it perfect? No, by no means did I do it perfect, but I like to think that I corrected myself when I found myself doing something wrong.
I like that. Herm?
It was tough for me because I was the caver. You know what I mean? I was always the one that cave in. You know what I'm saying?
The caver.
Yeah, man. When it came to that type stuff, it almost operated as it was two separate rules. What happens at your mama house and what happens at my house. I'm realizing I'm not helping the girls by doing that. You know what I mean? All I am is just undermining their mom. You know what I mean? So it took a while. It took me keep getting, you know what I'm saying? Like, and some of the times that stuff backfired on me. You know what I mean? What I mean by that is, had I would have stuck to the plan and stuck with the discipline, something more serious probably wouldn't have came along. You know what I mean? But since I let that ride and undermined their mom, you know what I mean? Now something more serious than happened. And it probably would have all been cool if I would have stuck to the plan. They would have went through that discipline to understand that, hey, what you really did right here was messed up. Don't do it. Because we on your ass if you do that.
Right.
You know what I mean? Instead, I gave her safe haven. So sometimes, okay, well, I'm about to take the mile. Well, you should have got him at the inch. You know what I mean? So, yeah, it was a struggle for me. I'm better with it now because, you know, the mistakes that I've made, and also through the counsel of my wife, you know what I mean? I'm better with it now, but it was rough in the beginning.
So, Danny, how would you say, I guess the question is, do you think because of the situation that you may compensate different without having, you know, their father there? Do you find yourself overcompensating or under, you know, compensating? You know what I mean? What do you think?
I think I am, going back to that word adaptability, I think I do pretty well. And I learned that from my mom, being a single mom I'm 37. So she's been around that long, since day one. So I think I'm pretty flexible. And even when it comes to us communicating, although we haven't seen him since like October of 2022, I still try to, as much as it irks me to do it, keep him in the loop with major decisions. Like when I took my kid out of school, I let him know what was going on. I don't know why I do it, but I'm like, you know, there's no time limit on when he might decide to come back around. And I just want to always keep that door open and make him feel like he's been a part of the process. So in that way, I do feel like I overcompensate. But in terms of raising my children, I think I keep a good balance. I would like to believe that if he ever did take that role over, I would give him the reins, because I can't teach my boys how to be men. So I would let him lead when they're in his household. I would try my best to take the reins off and just feel like they're just getting this well-rounded experience by being in two different households and just learning two different styles. So I think that would be something to benefit them both. But in terms of how I do, I think I do pretty well. And that's not just me toot my own horn, but I think I do pretty well because I try to educate myself in every way that I can to make sure that I'm on top of things.
No, that's good. That's super dope. That's super dope. And I think, too, this is an outstanding show because we're able to have these transparent conversations about parenting and think about our limited factors, right? Because we don't have it all. Right. Like, and we're still learning at the same time. And so if we're creating a space, right, we're creating a space for another adult or an individual that we're responsible for to be a responsible adult. We got to hold ourselves accountable. You get what I'm saying? So, Jabri, let me give you one time, man. What other thing may be on your heart that you want to kind of say your lesson learned as far as parenting or co-parenting?
Man, just the lessons of understanding that I had so much further to go, man. The lesson of how much my girls have taught me to be a man, to be a good parent. There's been a lot of trials that I've failed on. I was just talking to my oldest daughter today. She's 22, and we were talking about finances and credit, and she's really interested in making sure that she starts off right and everything like that. And what I told her was like, hey, I didn't have anybody to tell me anything about money, right? Only thing I knew was, hey, there's some Jordans coming out. I was going to buy them. That's all I really knew. And right. So for her and for them, what I want to do is ensure that, hey, y'all know everything that I failed at, mm-hmm. right? I need y'all to understand this is where your dad failed. However, this is what I've learned along the way. And so what I'm not going to allow you to do, I'm not going to allow you to fail at the lowest level where I did. Mm-hmm. And so you're already going to be a step ahead of me. And so just learning those particular lessons, man, and ensuring that I don't allow them to go down those same pitfalls that I went down is my key. And so there's going to be some things. I'm 45 now. And so there's going to be some things that I'm not going to be able to accomplish in this lifetime because I didn't get on track until, you know, later on in life. Right. And so what I'm not going to allow them to do is start at the same place that I did. So they can achieve whatever that it is I wanted to when I was their age. So yeah, those are just some things that I've learned, man. And I'm very passionate about pushing that stuff across to them as well.
No, that's outstanding. So Danny, for you, what little message would you give to mothers that are doing this, you know, in a solo tip that you've learned? Like what one-liner would it be?
Yeah, I think just tap into community and then patience is a virtue. And I think just kind of cultivating, even though the other person is not necessarily in the picture, just always keeping communication open, even with that person. Because in my experience, my dad came back in my life 2 years ago and we just kind of like didn't skip a beat. And had I kept that grudge, he would have passed away and I never would have had that opportunity to have that chapter close. So I think just always God, we don't know what God's doing, but sometimes people take a longer time to kind of get it together and you just have to be patient because at the end of the day, the children come first. So that's right my on. Advice.
Beautiful. All right, Herm, final word for you, homie.
Hey, for me is that always remember that you're the parent, right? Even if your child hurts your feelings and stuff like that, especially when they become grown, don't just cut them off and be like, I'm done with them. You know what I mean? It's okay, you know, that you're hurt or whatnot. Give yourself a chance to collect yourself, but never give up on building that bridge up with your kids. In the community center, I know a man that walks past his son like he doesn't even know him. Every time that he goes into the community center, I just can't believe that I'm watching it. He works out about 300 feet from where his son is over there playing basketball and doesn't say a word to him because of some grudge he's holding against his young teenage kid. I don't get it. So always remember that you are the parent, you know what I mean? And even if you've been slighted or hurt, don't give up on your children. Go back, you know, and try to mend that fence.
Wow. Super dope. Well, look, ladies and gentlemen, that concludes this episode of The Lion's Den. If you haven't done so already, make sure you are liking, sharing, and communicating and connecting, right? And subscribing. This is what we do here. We'll be seeing y'all soon. Right on, everybody. Good show. We're going to talk to y'all on the flip-flop. Later.